Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me."
I invite you to pray with me, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for in you is justice and shalom. Amen. You probably already know this, but in some Christian communities, the scripture passage for today, which is really a portion of a much bigger section, the scripture passage is used as a warning. It's words of caution of God's judgment to come. It's understood in this way: if you don't do these things, if you don't act this way, then eternal punishment will come on you, and you will be forever cast out. So you better remember to help people, or God's judgment will come. Understood in that way. That's how it was taught to me as a child. And if we take the text at face value, that seems to be what it says. One of the things that always confused me is the passage goes through and it talks about all of you who didn't do these things, and they said, "Well, how would we have known?" And then it says, "All of you who did these things," and they said, "Well, how did we know?" And I wonder, if this is something that I'm being judged on, wouldn't I know what the criteria is? Wouldn't I have known so that I would know to do it? Why is it that those who are being praised for this action suddenly are saying, "Well, I didn't know that's what you wanted me to do. That was kind of nice," right? That part of it didn't make sense. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? So you do some deeper digging, and you find out that buried in the midst of Matthew's gospel is this story that is a form of apocalyptic writing. So it's not to be taken literally, it's to be taken in a greater context. Jesus' words aren't given to us to warn us of judgment to come. They're given to us to remind us once again of the heart of Jesus' teaching, to remind us that we belong to one another, and that our every action and thought impacts not only the people around us, but impacts our own health and wholeness in Christ. I was struck by, in this passage, the things that Jesus named as being reflective of helping. They were simple things: giving a meal, giving a drink, welcoming a stranger, cheering the sick, visiting the prisoner. They are all things that any person can do, and yet, at least in that time, they required us to give of our very selves in doing so. You see, in Jesus' time, when someone wanted a drink, we couldn't just hand them a bottle of water. And if someone needed food, I couldn't just give them $5 and say, "McDonald's is on the corner, you can go get yourself a meal." If I gave someone water, that meant that either I or someone in my family was going to have to go to the community well more often to replenish the family's supply. If I gave someone a meal, that meant I or someone in my family is going to have to cook more food for us to eat. If I gave you the clothing to wear, then somehow I have to make more clothing. I'm physically involved in this act that I'm doing with you. Simple things. Yet to do them, you had to get physically involved. Simple things, yet to do them, you might have to risk opening yourself to a stranger, to new situations, to new people. You might have to risk. What Jesus talks about is us coming to see deeply the light of Christ, the face of Christ that is in every person. And I will confess that I find at times that is not so easy. Maybe you're like me. But I suspect the problem is not them. The problem is my lack of vision. The only criteria Jesus says needs to be met is to meet the least of these. So what we're called to do is to not overlook the one who is hungry, the one who is homeless, the one who is in prison, even if it is prisons of the person's own making. We are asked instead to look them in the face and see there the face of Christ. Every person. From the one that you find simple and easy to love to the one who makes you question whether you are capable of loving at all. Even there, we are asked to see the face of Christ. I think sometimes we find it too easy to categorize people because that is, in a way, how our brains are wired. We make sense of the world by categorizing. It's what helps us take this random and begin to compartmentalize. The problem is when I stop there, then persons who are homeless or persons who rely on government subsidy or persons who are in prison no longer become persons, they become categories. And in my thinking and in my actions, they lose their humanity and they lose their dignity. Can you picture someone you know who is homeless? Can you picture someone you know who is in prison? If we cannot, we risk losing our connectedness to people and only connecting to categories instead. Elaine Pagels is a well-known biblical scholar, and she says this about today's scripture. Jesus' words in this scripture are the basis for a new social structure based on the God-given dignity and value of every human being. Jesus tells us persons are not to be treated well because they are good people or because they fit some category that seems to have been approved by someone. They're to be treated well because Jesus says that's him. Jesus simply asks us to see God and the people around us and to respond accordingly. And when we do, when we seek God in prayer and worship and study and fellowship with others, our hearts grow and our faith deepens. Our way of seeing expands to witness the pain and the joy in the lives of other people. Our way of living stretches to include acts of compassion, not because we feel we should, but because we feel we can't do any less. not because somehow I'm more and you're lesser, but because when I see the face of Christ in you, I realize that I too am the least of these. So as I have come to understand it, this passage from the Gospel of Matthew is telling us that the kingdom of God is about people who believe that what we do with others matters, that what we do for others matters, and that what we do to one another matters. It reminds us that who we are and how we are is important. So when we help each other, when we care for each other, when we seek to look more deeply into one another's lives and not simply see from my position, my point of view, my experience, my situation, when we do that, then in that way we are making the kingdom of God alive in this place. And that is what we heard from the stories that you shared in the listening sessions this summer. Stories of the challenge and the desire to continue to move from a simple understanding of hospitality to a more radical lived hospitality. You see, radical hospitality is more than just a desire to be helpful to other people, provide a meal, and give them water. Radical hospitality is a call to cultivating, transforming relationships. Mutually transforming relationships. Both parties matter, and hopefully both are open to conversion. So in that understanding of community, we greet one another in incarnational relationship, living the Word of God. We strive for surrender and openness to the culture and the perspective of the other person. So that means that I surrender my power, or at least try to be willing to. I surrender a sense of certainty in how I believe the world is. I surrender what I think justice looks like. And I come open, not just open to give, but open to receive as well, open to receive grace and truth, open to a new perspective, to the opportunity to experience the world through your eyes too. So in this radical hospitality, we come knowing that we will be transformed because each one, everyone, has something of Christ to share with us. Everyone. So today's scripture is a statement about God. But instead of telling us about a God of judgment, we learn that God is right there with us in the messiness and the ambiguity of our living. We learn that God is right here with us in the face and in the arms of every person that we see. But today's scripture also is a statement about the practice of faith, the practice of radical hospitality. Jesus is asking whether or not you saw his face in the face of someone in need, and reminds us of the need to get to know each other, because it is only in relationship that I truly come to learn about you. It is only in relationship that we truly learn how to help one another. It is only in relationship that we learn that we are each the least of these. In the practice of radical hospitality, Jesus reminds us there is only one criterion: whether or not you gave yourself away in love, In Jesus' name. Amen.